Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, back here, Scott Spears, on a Monday morning, Monday, January the 22nd, 2024, and 17 minutes past the hour, 21 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion. Boy, it's a heat wave out there this morning compared to what it's been recently here in Marion. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. You know what's funny? During the break there, you know, sometimes in doing this show, because I really don't write anything down to say. Now, sometimes I'll write little bullet points about things I want to remember to talk about, but I really don't write anything down about what I'm going to say. And before we went to break, I was talking about how I thought if it came worse to worse and you wanted to... clear up is the best way to put it. Something with somebody. Maybe you have an unresolved issue that you just want to put to bed, and you can't, you don't see that person anywhere. How do you do that? I thought the best way to do this, now again, I'm not saying go in and cause a scene, or go in and get them in trouble. I'm not saying that at all. That's exactly what you don't want to do. But a lot of people work, and you know where they work. And I think going to their place, the place where they work, and just saying, listen, I don't like this, or I like this, or let's move on and onward and upward. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because really you have a captive audience there, because they're at work and really can't walk out. And I was thinking during the break that years ago, you know, because there are certain places in life where we all have to go. And one of those places is the hospital or the phlebotomy clinic to get blood drawn. You know, I think all people have to do that at least once or twice a year if you're getting, you know, treated for anything or you're doing physicals or whatever it is. And I remember I knew somebody who, well, I still know them. They're still around, who worked at, I don't even know what the place is called now, but it's across the street from Marion General. I still call it the Smith Clinic. Some people call it the Outpatient Center. I don't know. Marion General Outpatient. I'm not really sure. But anyway, I knew somebody who worked there, and I wasn't even necessarily going there to have a conversation with this person, but they work there, so what can you do? And they were there. And I'm not going to say, it wasn't an ugly moment. It wasn't like a name calling, I don't like you, you're an awful person. It wasn't that sort of thing at all. But I just happened to run into the person there because they work there. And it kind of smoothed over some edges to maybe some things that were left undone. So maybe that's why I give this particular advice. That if you run into somebody where they're working, or you really want to find out something about them or clear something up, do it. Because I think that's a good thing. I think you should never leave anything on the table. And I'm not sure that I like letters, to be honest with you. I think letters sometimes can come off bad. I think people can get a letter and interpret it different than somebody else might interpret it. So that's my advice. And if anybody's got any different advice or think that this is a bad idea, I'll certainly be glad to entertain it. 740-751-4038. 20 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz. But that's the advice I have this morning. Just go to their work. But again, do not cause a scene. Don't go trying to get the person fired. Don't go screaming and yelling. You know, that's not the thing you want to be doing. You just go in and you say, listen, here's the problem. And move on. At that point, you move on. Okay, let's see here. Well, Any thoughts on the Miranda McGuinness interview that aired on Friday on this station? I felt, as I said in hour number one, it was a very candid interview. I felt that it cleared up a lot of holes that maybe we heretofore had thought existed with the whole auditor, mayor, city council story. I think it leads us into the big city council meeting tonight at 6:30 p.m. I don't know. What'd you think of the interview on Friday? I think it's just very interesting how some things happened. And I don't know what Martin Watts's plan or business was in this, how he went from Miranda to Bill and apparently brokered this deal between the two where she would leave her job in return for a job in transit that ended up not happening. I really don't know how that happened, but we heard about it on Friday morning. I thought it was interesting. Thought it was also interesting that Miranda said the day after our Tuesday interview, which was about 2 weeks ago now, that Bill came into her office and apologized. I thought that was interesting. It takes a big person to apologize. That's a very nice thing. So I don't know. I don't know where everything goes and what questions are going to be asked tonight at the city council meeting. If anybody has any questions or comments regarding the interview with Miranda on Friday or this whole situation before tonight's city council meeting at 6:30, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And then, of course, we love to talk about the groundhog here on this station because it's coming up February the 2nd, 8:15 a.m. until 11 a.m. And as I was saying Friday night, and I'll say it again this morning, was talking about it in hour number one, until last Friday at about 4 or 5 o'clock, I was not really sure who the groundhog was going to be. I had a pretty good guess as to who the groundhog was going to be. But when I had contacted the person, they said they had to check their schedule. It was going to take about a week, and they were 90% sure that they could do it, but they wanted to make sure. Well, we were able to confirm it up on Friday that this person will be the groundhog, and I think this is the perfect person, to be honest with you. We had James Anderson last year, and there certainly was nothing wrong with that. But boy, do I think we have the right person this year. And I think it's something a lot of people are going to want to see. And I think when that head comes off the groundhog at 8:45 a.m. on Groundhog Day morning, I think it's going to be... I don't know if anybody will guess this person. I won't confirm or deny the person, but again, we've had guesses of Matt and Carrington and Sean and Mary Ellen Withrow and Mayor Schertzer and Weasel Boy and Mayor Kellogg. You know, we've had an awful lot of... George Kasotis was guessed at one point. A lot of people have been guessed as to the person who will be the groundhog. But who is the groundhog? And this event is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We have Bob Welsh coming in from Columbus with the Groundhog Pizza, which will help us predict the weather that day. And we have most of the WGH staff on hand that day. Carrington, Matt, Sean, Terry, myself, Linda, Pastor Craig will all be on hand that particular morning. And Adam Lepp will be back in the studio making sure all the episodes get up quick for people who want to hear them. And, of course, we'll have the groundhog. Mary Ellen will be there. It's just going to be a big, big morning as we have it right now, and it's exciting. And I just cannot wait for the head to come off this groundhog and people to find out who it is. I think it's just going to be... I don't know... It's hard to say because I'll end up giving away hints here. And the best I can do at this point, I can say that it's somebody everybody's going to know, but I don't know if you would ever guess this person. That's the interesting thing. That's about the best hint I can give. I think everybody will know them, but... I don't know. We'll take the call here. Go ahead, caller.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Kicking off another big week here.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting tonight? Or...
You know, I think it could. It certainly has the potential to be.
I think you're right.
I think that
was an interesting follow-up interview you had with Miranda on Friday.
What did you take away? I don't think we've talked about that. What did you take away from the follow-up? Because I tried to go back and answer every question that had been asked since she had been on the previous Tuesday, and also learn what had happened with her. And I think we also talked a lot more about the auditor's office, which is a big question. What'd you take away from it?
Well, I think you can put to bed the allegations of hostility and intimidation and that sort of thing from Mayor Collins and her, and Jason Schauber for that matter. Now, she never relented from saying that that's how she interpreted it, but I think it's pretty clear that it was, you know, she herself said that he apologized and just said that he deals in facts.
Well,
he didn't apologize for being mean, aggressive, rude, intimidating, or threatening. So she accepted the fact that he was apologizing for stating the facts. So if somebody is stating the facts and you're uncomfortable with them because they hit hard because probably they're true, you know, then that's just her maybe being overly sensitive hearing the facts. And the same thing with Jason. She said that Jason, she thought that he was saying, bringing up, you know, her house and her family and out of genuine concern, is I think how she put it. So that makes me think that, yes, that is laid to rest. That issue is now moot.
Well, here's what I would say about that. I disagree with you a little bit on this, because I think there are a couple things about this that are tricky. Number one, the fact that he apologized means he felt he had done something wrong. And what did he do wrong? Because essentially, he just apologized for, as you say, the term that she used was dealing in facts, maybe from his past positions. Well, if you felt you did something wrong, what was it you did wrong? So that's problematic. And there's also a little bit of problem with the idea that even if you're dealing in facts, there are a lot of things that are fact that shouldn't be brought up in the workplace. And I think that's always been the question here. It might be that, I think clearly if she didn't have a job, paying for a house would be difficult. And maybe family situations would get a little tight and that sort of thing. Should they be brought up when you're talking about somebody's resignation? It's more propriety. And I'm not sure an apology wipes that all away. And the other thing I would say, I never felt that that was really the crux of the whole thing. I never really felt that mentioning her personal life was the crux. Yeah, that can be uncomfortable. I would say that's not probably the most pleasant moment of your life. I think the crux of the whole thing is offering an elected official a job in return for another job to get them out of that job. And I thought we even got deeper into that on Friday. Come to find out, she never asked for that job. Martin Watts went down and brokered that whole deal. And even the meeting she went into in which she resigned, apparently she was shocked that there was a deal on the table and said on Friday she really didn't want to do it, but felt under pressure to do it, which is what you can't do.
Yeah, that is the crux of any potential, I guess, legal issue. So I agree with that. But I think the other allegations of being hostile and threatening and that sort of thing between Mayor Collins and Jason Schauber, I think that can be laid to rest. So now it needs to move on to whether or not that was appropriate of, you know, trying to get her to resign that position or coerce her into, you know, accepting that other job with transit.
You know,
so that was one takeaway. The other takeaway, you know, I think that it sounds like they like her personally, but they do think that she is incompetent at the position. So I think that's all part of what Jason was saying when he was saying, well, you know, this is what I get for, like, being trying to be a nice guy. And instead of just being detached and, you know, going about it maybe like they would have with Robert Landon, and kind of a disconnected, just like, yeah, we need to take action and get him out of here and do what we can. They wanted to try to be nice, I think, and probably because they do like her, because she comes across as a likable person when you listen to her interviews. But she definitely does admit, I mean, with her prior admission and characterization of even her tenure in the office, of the office being garbage, if she kind of continued with that, you know, saying that she would have sought help from the state of Ohio, but she didn't know what to ask, you know, okay. And then she said she tried the audit on her own before they hired Veritas, and it took her 6 weeks to do 20 days, and Veritas completed 6 months and 14 days, you know. And then she also, I think, had to quote on her appointment when you asked her about her appointment. She said they had to scrape the bottom of the barrel to find her. You know, so she definitely goes and kind of lays a foundation, and, you know, that there is legitimate. You know, she even said, like, beratement by counsel is appropriate when there's poor job performance. You know, so there's another admission.
I think when it's not personal is what she said, and I think sometimes a lot of people have felt it got personal.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, but I think she's admitting that it's fair. And then she also admitted that it was a senior-level staff issue. So she didn't implicate, you know, the lower or mid-level staff in their job performance, saying that it's a senior-level staff issue. Well, she's the most senior. And she also admitted to accruing fees and penalties because she didn't know what to do. So, you know, it's just, I guess, a question on whether or not my follow-up question, I know she kind of agreed that my suggestion early on of preparing a written plan of action with a timeline, and I think she said that that's something that she should probably do, which, yes, she should. The other thing would be, how much is Veritas costing the city?
You know, I don't, you know, anybody can do what they want to do at this point, but I will be interested if she does come with a written statement tonight, and she does come with a timeline, as we talked about on Friday with her. What's that timeline? Now, she felt that she had a realistic timeline, but she felt that they were not going to go for that realistic timeline. So do you give them the realistic timeline, which gets you removed, or at least try to be removed? Or do you give a timeline that buys you some time, but you're not exactly going to get to where you need to get? I think it's going to be interesting, because I believe she said on Friday that she did not believe any more fines were going to be accruing, and she talked to those people, the IRS, I believe. Now,
well,
I think
they're still back and they're still working on audits from 2021.
Right. So I there may be a question of that tonight. I don't know. I just
you
think
have
it's
to catch up. You know, you've got 22 and then now you'll be having 23. So if they don't fix the problem and get everything caught up, then they're probably going to accrue additional fines and penalties in those subsequent years, since they're so far behind. And I think a valid thing for her to put forth and for counsel to ask would be, what is the auditor's office's involvement with Veritas's project? So is Veritas doing this kind of on their own, and are they really needing the assistance of the auditor's office in a substantial way? If so, does that include her? Is she, like, you know, up to her neck in this work, or is it kind of a hands-off, let Veritas do what it needs to do and just give them access? So that would be, I think, a very good question to ask is, you know, are they kind of working independently through this project, and how much is the auditor's office actually doing? And the other thing, I think another question that bring, you know, she brought up a valid point with the new position that Mayor Collins wants to create with the budget director. Is that the title of it?
I believe so. Budget. It's budget something, yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like that position will essentially have the same duties as the auditor, right? And she even said that. She's like, I don't know once that position is created what my office is going to do, and will I just be sitting there twiddling my thumbs, I think is what she said.
So, well, I think the elected official would always take precedent over a hired official, because the mayor is not the boss of the auditor.
Right, but do you see what I'm saying? And what she is kind of insinuating is that that's going to supplant, in a lot of respects, the duties of the auditor. The auditor may still exist, but if the mayor's office is creating this position that's going to assume these duties, then you're basically going to be giving the mayor's office that much more power, which is not an elected official. They'll be appointed.
Well, you know, and what I thought when that whole thing came up on Friday, what I thought about that was the elected official, the auditor, is going to remain. Now, let's say Moran, because this budget position that Mayor Collins wants to create, I mean, that was in the works long before Miranda rescinded her resignation. So my question is that, okay, let's say she did go ahead and resign on the 5th, and she had left, and Mayor Collins had appointed a new auditor. Is he saying that the new auditor is still going to need help from somebody? Because if the new auditor needs help, then maybe the old auditor needs help.
Well, it sounds to me like they're trying to circumvent the auditor's office. And maybe the thought is that we can't elect anybody competent from our pool of people in Marion. So if we create this position, I'm sure they won't have to reside in Marion. So then they can hire somebody from Delaware or Columbus or wherever, and they'll basically take control of the auditor's office under the purview of the mayor's office. I don't know. I thought that was very interesting.
Well,
and I don't know what what that position is going to be paid. I'm sure it's going to be.
I'm sure it's certainly upwards of $60,000 or $70,000. But what's interesting to me about the whole thing is that, I mean, Mayor Collins would be appointing the next auditor because she was an independent. So if you're also hiring the budget person and you're appointing the auditor, I guess why the best person to do that job, why wouldn't you just appoint them to be the auditor unless they live outside of Marion County? And you're saying of the 35,000 people plus who live in Marion City, you can't find an auditor?
That's what I think that's what it sounds like they're doing. I think they're going to circumvent the auditor's office through this position. And, you know, so what if he gets to appoint this auditor, and then in another couple years or whatever, when there's another election, we'll be in the same position, potentially. So this puts it in place where, okay, we can still have the elected auditor for whatever that means, but the ultimate, I guess, control will be through this director position that'll be appointed by the mayor. So that's, I don't know, that sounds like a pretty substantial change in city governance.
Well, the two things I think that will happen tonight, and we'll see how city council plays it out. Now, again, we got 5 new city council members, so a lot of them just came in on the middle of this. But I think it's going to be interesting because Miranda certainly has told her story. I don't think anybody has any doubt after 4 hours what Miranda went through, thought she went through, what happened, so on and so forth, from her opinion. And I think Jason Schauber confirmed a lot of these things when he was on the air as well. I think the person we don't know anything from is Bill Collins at this point. And whether or not I still think she feels she was intimidated, I think Bill Collins is saying that was not my intention. And I don't know if intention really matters in that particular case, because the whole thing really revolves around why did this happen. And I thought when she said, no, I would never have resigned had I not been offered that position, that's a problem. And that's the crux of the whole thing. And will City Council ask Mayor Collins any questions about that? Because I think right now, of course, the finances of the city are in trouble. Nobody's going to deny that. And there's going to be a process to either get rid of the auditor or bring this new budget person in or appoint a new auditor or whatever. But I think that certainly because of those issues, I think people are trying to get away from the other issue as quick as possible. Let's talk about this, let's not talk about that, when I think the problems in the auditor's office are pretty well known. Now, what people want to do about those, that's a whole nother can of worms, but the issues with the mayor and Martin Watts and the auditor, those things I think are a little more ambiguous, and I don't think we do know exactly what went on there, unless the mayor would just get up and say, yes, it happened exactly the way she said it did.
Right. No, I still think that needs to come to light. But I think as far as the interaction, I think it's pretty clear that it was not, because it's just telling somebody the cold hard truth. I mean, I think that's what deals in facts. And, you know, she accepted it. She never even alleged that it was, like, mean, aggressive, rude, and that sort of thing. It was, you know, them coming, because I think that they do think that they probably like her, and we're trying to kind of have, like, an intervention-type thing or situation where you're just, you know, telling the truth. Now, again, if he did something wrong in trying to coerce her into taking that other position, that's a separate issue. But as far as like the hostile interaction, I think that can be laid to rest at this point. You know? And then the other issue is just, is she right for the job and trying to fix the auditor's office? So I think that's why those questions, if that plan does come forth, and timeline, it needs to be what involvement, not only what is Veritas doing, but what is the auditor's office doing in that project.
Let me ask this. If this were an elected official who was not in an office that was in some dire strait, because obviously the problem here is the auditor's office is in some bad shape, and I don't think anybody's denying that. But if this had happened to an elected official and their office wasn't in as bad a shape, would it be an issue? What went down with the mayor?
Well, it potentially could be.
Right. And no. I think that's what is clouding this issue to a great degree, is people are saying, well, something may have happened there, but the office is in horrible shape, so we have to do something about that. But I don't know that that justifies what went down to begin with. And I think that's why you almost have to do this in chunks and say, okay, well, what is that? First, what went on there? How did we get to the position we're in? And then how do we fix this office? Because maybe somebody should ask the question, what is this budget person going to do? Does the auditor you want to appoint need help as well? I mean, what's going on here? And also, why did Martin Watts come to you and try to broker this deal? And why did this happen in a meeting? And Miranda, on the record, said, I would not have resigned had that position not been there. And then didn't resign in the end. And I also, I somebody will have to answer for this down the road. But when Miranda says, you know, that she knew what an angry dad looked like. His face got red. He was definitely not happy. He went on again to bring up the family and the housing and all this.
I think that he apologized for it. I don't know that it negates how she felt about it.
Well,
and I think when you apologize,
all I would say, I would encourage people to listen to both, listen to all the interviews, and judge for yourself.
I mean,
my takeaway was that she probably got uncomfortable. I'm not saying she didn't get uncomfortable. If you're getting a talking to from anybody, a boss or whatever, and she's admitting that it's valid, she's admitting that the state of the auditor's office is and has been garbage in the Landon office and then also in the McGinnis office. So if somebody is coming there and, you know, sharing cold, hard facts, and you know them to be true, but you're just, you're uncomfortable.
I think
you're not going to be like, well, you know, happy.
I think, but I think that's where the line is. See, I think that's the confusion. I think everything you just said is absolutely valid. To come in and say, listen, the auditor's office is not in good shape, hasn't been in good shape for 4 years. We're getting fined quarters of $1 million here. We're having to sell off investments. What are you going to do about this? Where's the timeline? You're causing us problems. We're going to have to try to remove you. I think that we're going to ask for your resignation. That's all fine. That's above board. That's the job. To say, think about your house. Think about your kids. That's not something you should be doing. That really, that's her business. That's not about the job. That's not something I think a coworker should be saying.
And I think that that's what Jason regrets, is because he said he did it out of genuine concern, and she admitted that that's what she thought when Jason made those comments. Is she said, I think that, you know, it was out of caring and genuine concern. So there is agreement on that now.
Right, but so, I think that the problem that went hand in hand here was those comments were then followed by resign and you can go to this position.
Right. No, exactly. And that is its own separate issue. But as far as the hostility and stuff, I think it's pretty well laid to rest. Was it uncomfortable for her to hear those facts? Yeah. You know, everybody would be uncomfortable in that situation. Did Jason, and I guess Bill too, did they bring up, you know, think about your kids, trying to get her, you know, that, again, I think that's something that you would say with somebody that was, that you did like. If you didn't like them, you'd just be like, yeah, you're going to be gone. So we're going to do whatever we can because you're confident.
And that beckons the question that I started the program off this morning. Mayor Schertzer had called for her resignation. Members of council had called for her resignation, all prior to any of these meetings. And there was a well-known process that was going to be underway. We knew who was going to head it up. It was going to be Mr. Rollins to get her out of office. Why did any of this ever need to happen?
Just out of expediency, I think, or what they thought would be expediency, or to try to quickly move it on and not have a battle, I think is probably what they would say.
It's going to be interesting. I'll be surprised tonight because I'll be interested to know if Jason will ask any questions about this. Ayers Ratliff certainly is somebody who's been vocal about this. I'll be interested to know if he's going to ask any questions about this. And I think that could lead to where we are. Now, again, I'm not saying anybody did anything wrong. I don't know the laws and I don't know the rules. But I certainly think that as questions need to be answered about the auditor's office, and certainly people have asked them, I think when the former mayor of Marion of 16 years says questions need to be asked about this deal, and it's just getting shadier and shadier and shadier, I think somebody should ask some questions.
No, I agree 100%. And I think that questions need to be asked about this budget director position. What stage? Has that been approved?
No, I believe it's at the second reading tonight.
Okay. Well, that should be another issue that gets attention, because what it looks like, again, as I've already stated, is that they are going to circumvent a lot of the duties. And Miranda backed that theory up when she said that, well, what's the auditor going to do? Just sit there twiddling their thumbs. They'll still exist. And probably when it comes down to it, if you had somebody that was really strong and competent in that position, they could probably throw their weight around and, you know, get the budget director in line. But what it looks like to me is that they are circumventing those duties to an appointed position, and then it's going to cost Marion taxpayers double.
Well, ultimately, I don't think, even if that's the theory on what's going to happen, it would be able to happen, because the state is still, and the IRS and all of them, are always going to deal with the elected official. And as long as the elected official doesn't acquiesce to a private position, that private position will either go unused, or if they're not willing to work with the auditor's office, because they're certainly not going to go to a hired position over the elected auditor, whomever that may be at the time. But on a lighter note here, with eight
but
minutes...
But it's not a private position. It's under the mayor's
appointed position.
That's my point, is that it appears as though you're going to have a lot of duties and powers that are being circumvented by the mayor's office, and people just need to realize that that's going on. And then you're also going to be increasing expenditures, salary expenditures, substantially.
Well, there's a couple positions in the works for that, so that's a whole can of worms. But again, all I'm saying is I don't think that all these things that go through the auditor's office, which have nothing to do with the mayor's office where people send their bills, I don't think Bill can create this position, but I certainly don't think all those things are going to start going to that position. I don't think he can make that happen, because he's not the auditor's boss, and I don't think he can call up the IRS and say, start dealing with this person, not with our auditor. I don't think that would work, and I certainly don't think city council would let that go. I think the theory is, and you'd have to talk to them, is that this person will work with the auditor's office, and if that happens, good, I guess, if people want the position. Looks like that position's coming, the way the votes have went down as of the first reading.
Well, again, she herself asked the question, what would she be doing just sitting there twiddling her thumb? So that makes me think that
I would ask counsel.
They're going to assume a lot of responsibility. So you're basically creating another high-level position. You're going to be paying both an elected auditor plus their staff, and then the director of budgets, and potentially probably staff. So you're going to have double the outlay for salaries to accomplish the same job.
Now,
it doesn't sound very efficient.
Now, we'll talk more about this tomorrow once we have some answers after tonight's meeting. But now that we know who the groundhog's going to be, what do you think?
Who is it? I didn't hear it.
We can't announce that yet. But we are for sure who it is what I'm saying. Up until Friday, there was still a little skepticism, because a person said it was 90% chance that they were going to be there. They had to check their schedule. But as of Friday, it's 100% confirmed it's going to be this person. And I think it's very interesting, because the only clue I've given so far is that everybody would or should know them when the head comes off. But I don't know that anybody will ever guess the person.
I know who it is.
Who is it?
It's Bill Collins.
Bill Collins. Well, of course. How
That's
else would
why
we get?
He hasn't done an interview with you.
He's holding off for the ground. You know what? I'll tell you something interesting. Bill will be there tonight, and as far as I know, I'll be there tonight. And I hope, because I know Bill listens to the show. You know, everybody has confirmed that. Apparently, most people at City Hall listen to the show, and I appreciate that. But I hope he understands. Nobody's out to get anybody. We just want to ask some questions. And I understand how you can get the impression by talking about these things that people, it's not a favorable opinion. But when you come on and say, hey, listen, that's not the way it was, that's exactly what we're going to play. So you get your time to say what you need to say. Now, aside from that, I got to ask you this because I believe some people. What do you feel about the whole if you have unresolved issues with somebody and you can't get them anywhere else, go to their workplace?
Yeah. I don't think I would ever do that.
See, I think it's okay as long, and I want to preface this, do not go there to make a spectacle. Do not go there screaming and yelling. Do not go there to put their job in order. But if you cannot get in contact with them anywhere else, and you feel you have to get something settled, I don't know what the problem is.
Is this like a relationship context?
I don't know. I think anything. Friendship, relationship, family member, whatever.
Yeah, if it was, if it's a relationship, no. Just because, I don't know. If you're talking about like a scorned lover or something going, you shouldn't, you know, you should have enough confidence in yourself that if when it's over and not dwell on things and whatever. Now, if it's somebody owes you money, yeah, I would.
Now, but what, they could be one and the same there. But,
yeah, well, that's true.
Okay, I guess here's my point. Can you just not like the person? Does it always have to be scorned just because it's a relationship? Can't you just have found something out about this person that maybe you don't like? Like, I don't really like that.
I think that's healthy. You can't tie your happiness to another individual. So in relationships, when it comes down to it, you know, they should be like symbiotic or mutually beneficial. That's what works, is when you're with somebody and you mutually benefit from the relationship. So if that's not the case, then it's not the case. You know, move on and live your life and be in charge of your own happiness. Don't tie your happiness to anybody else, because you're born alone and you'll die alone. And that's just a cold, hard fact.
I think that's good, but I think these things are interchangeable, though. I think that a lot of people do tie their boat to other people to make them happy. I think, and maybe this is something that people should look at, but they're not going to, because that's just life. We've all learned it. That's why we bring it up here. I'm just saying, I think if time goes on, and you want to have a halfway decent, I mean, if you had a bad moment with a friend and you were not talking to that friend and they weren't taking your phone calls and so on and so forth, but you wanted to continue on to have a not the best friendship anymore, but just say, listen, you know, I want what's best for you, blah, 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 and you can't get a hold of them. I don't see the problem with going to work and saying, listen, this is why I think we've had issue, but it's in the past. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's because you're trying to reconcile, and you're, you know, as long as you're doing so with the right intentions and the right approach.
Yeah, don't go screaming or yelling or disrupt. None of that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think that's an okay place to do it. And I think it might make that person realize that everything heretofore is not wrong, like us running out of time this morning. Hey, thanks for calling.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing is, and as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant, and my wife said something funny, and I laughed, and the laugh was, you know, which was pretty much my Bozo